I'm getting better. The Lord has touched me. Thank you, Lord. Many a times before I've come to this pulpit, I've lived the message. And how many know the scriptures when Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly? When he does that, he's telling us to pay attention. I want you to catch this. And the music this morning, Days of Elijah, to me, and thank you, Brother Mundy, that was a confirmation to what I believe that the Lord has given me tonight for this church body. And Pastor Schumacher used some of the same scripture that I'm going to use tonight. And so I am just going to say, verily, verily, or truly, truly. The Lord is preparing us. He told us this morning that he's coming soon. I truly believe that. And before you stand for my opening scripture, I just want to read something to you out of the book of Titus, the first chapter. Titus 2, 11 and 12 is a scripture that really has always meant something to me. And so I was in the book of Titus, and the Lord arrested my attention and showed me this. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, still important, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Paul is instructing because he has placed somebody somewhere to teach people and to continue to carry on the work of God, and that it should be done after godliness, acknowledging the truth. And here's what I want you to see. But hath in due times, that word due means pertaining to oneself or one's own by implication. So it came to him, his own personal time, the Lord spoke with him and showed him and instructed him and called him. And I believe each and every one sitting here tonight has had that own personal time with God when he's tugged on our heart and he's told us and he's shown us things. But times, that word times, means an occasion or a proper time or an opportunity or a season. So we have those quiet moments with God. He instructs, he directs, and he prepares us for a season so that you and I, with the Word of God, can reach into somebody else's life and affect them the same way that God has affected you and I. And what I want to drive home tonight is this. The Word of God and truth is so very important. And the enemy wants nothing more than to keep you and I from the house of God, where not only do we get truth there, but we worship God as well. And there is such strength in worship. And the enemy wants nothing more than to have you and I hang our harp on a branch and be silent. But it is so very important in this time that you and I live in that we're faithful to the house of God, and then that the house of God is an extension to our house, and we're faithful to Him there as well, so that we are prepared for what God has for you and I to do. But like we heard this morning, sometimes it's while we're in the fire. Sister Courtney touched my heart to see you walk in here tonight. Believe it or not, when we are in the fire, we shine brighter than you can even imagine to those that are around us. Like Pastor said this morning, for when I am weak, then am I strong. My first pastor before I came down here told me something that really scared me at first. But he said, sometimes the Lord will allow for you to be wounded deeply so that He can use you mightily. And I think as we look back into the pages of Scripture and see, and Pastor talked about scars this morning, some of the things that men of God overcame and persisted through. Amen. So if you would tonight allow for me to teach you a message entitled Fire on the Road. And because there's fire on the road, there can be fire on the road. If you would stand with me tonight and go to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It was the fire of God that got the attention of Moses. But here's what I want to mention. Moses was in a desert place leading a flock. He wasn't sitting around eating bonbons and life wasn't good. I wonder if he wasn't still looking over his shoulder for what happened with the Egyptian. He was in a place where I wonder if every day he didn't ask himself, how did I get here? Herding sheep on the backside of the desert. And the Lord came to him in a fire. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for every person that is within these walls. And Lord, for every person that down the road might view this on the airwaves, Lord, you are preparing a people and speaking to a people. And you have given us, Lord, all the tools. And Lord, I pray that tonight in this place, we could leave here with confidence in you, knowing that you have called the church for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, if you could give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So it was the fire in the bush that got the attention of Moses to where he went to the side to see what was happening, because the bush was burning, but yet it was not consumed. Later, we see that the fire of God was visually manifested in the life of Moses. In Exodus 34 and 29, he was on the mountain with God, and the Bible says, it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone. Or that means it shined, or it put out rays of light. He did not know that his face shone while he talked with them. And verse 30 says, when Aaron and the people saw, they were afraid to come nigh unto him. But here's what I would like for you to see. Here Moses is coming down from a time with God, and God spoke to him and gave him instruction. And here he is coming down the mount with the word of God, and he's glowing. He's shining. Look. When we are in the fire, if you will, or we are in the middle of a trial, or we are going through something, and we bring this word of God forth, and we stay faithful, like I talked about, to the house of God and the worship service, and getting that time alone with him, that personal time. When you bring the word of God forth, you don't realize it, but there's something in the spiritual realm that emanates from you to the hearer, and it touches their hearts. It doesn't mean that we're anything special. It means that the one who lives in our heart is special, and he is reaching and touching the lives of others. You have more of an effect on people with the word of God than you realize you have. And if you would just draw this conclusion tonight, conclusion one, when you bring forth the word of God in the spiritual realm, there is a light that shows forth from you that touches darkness. We heard it tonight that those weren't just stories that we read in the Old Testament, but they were types and shadows, and they show us what God had intended for the church to be. Because that same nation that Moses led was in the Valley of Goshen during the plague of darkness, but yet there was light in their vessels. And everybody around could see that light. We see many, many Old Testament references to fire. In Genesis 22 and 7, Isaac to Jacob says, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the lamb? We have the fire and we have the wood and we have the lamb who now has taken up residency in you and I. Isn't it amazing in this story of truth, though, when he made his way up the mountain, do you think he wasn't in a trial knowing that he was going to have to sacrifice his son? That's a trial, folks, but yet he was obedient to the instruction of God. He climbed the mountain. The Bible says, and he cut wood. If you look in the NIV, it says, and when he cut enough wood, he didn't take just a few sticks to go through the motions. He had enough wood for a fire to do it right. And because of that, they looked behind. And there was the ram caught in the thickets or in the bush. One bush burned, and the other bush had the sacrifice, which one day now, because of that, we have the lamb inside. But that referred to the fire. Jeremiah 20 and 9, then I said, I will not make mention of his name, nor speak any more in his name. Listen, Jeremiah was going through it. He was standing for truth, and he was not well accepted. And he was getting weary, and he was getting tired. Anybody been there? And ridiculed. Daily. Always. He won't speak anymore in his name, but look, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. There's something about the word of God, the value of it inside of us that will allow for us to persevere. The truth and the fire. To go through the fire or the challenges or the trying. Then Leviticus 6 and 13 says this, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. You see, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And the fire of God inside us, we have got to be sure that that fire keeps burning. That fire keeps burning. Because the darker the world gets, the brighter the fire is. And you don't know, and I don't know, whose attention the Lord is going to grab and step off to the side because they see something burning or glowing in our lives during a situation that they have no idea how to maneuver through. Elijah and Elisha, 2 Kings 2 and 11. And this is right before the fiery chariot and horses of fire come to get Elijah. He's walking with Elisha. What's he doing? He's passing the mantle. He's handing the truth. And Elisha wanted a double portion. Well, that's a hard thing to ask for. But if you see me, I always think of Brother Davis, Pastor Schumacher, when I read this scripture, but he said, if you are eye to eye with me, Elijah to Elisha, that can happen. And so they're walking by the way. And it came to pass, 2 Kings 2 and 11, as as he still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. This was the Elijah who called fire down with the prophets of Baal, and not only did that fire lick up the wood and the water and the sacrifice, but here's what I like. 1 Kings 8 and 24, Elijah speaking, he said, "And call ye on the name of your gods," little g, "and I will call on the name of the Lord." Now watch. "And the God that answereth," notice, big G. He knew who the God of sending fire was. "And the God that answereth by fire, let him be," capital G, "God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." One day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But Elijah said, "Let the God who sends the fire." Can I tell you, the God that sent the fire is the same God that sent the fire to your life and to my life, and the same God who has empowered you and I to do what he asked the men of God and the ladies of God back in Old Testament times to do what they did. But yet now he lives inside of us. Supernatural fire. That word fire means fire, flame, supernatural fire. Fire for cooking or roasting or altar fire. Figuratively, it could be God's anger, but it was the fire of God. I present to you that the supernatural fire or power of God is referenced throughout Old Testament and New Testament scripture and is still a big part of the church today. In the year 2021, we heard this before, verily, verily, 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try," and that means a putting to proof by experiment of good, a trial or of man's fidelity, virtue, and integrity. "Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange has happened to you." See, it's a trial for good. And we come out on the other side as pure gold. So God used the fire in Moses' life over and over to show him things. Think of how important the fire was to the tabernacle and what the fire all did there. From the altar of incense to the brazen altar. I wonder if Moses wasn't thinking back to the bush and how that all played into this. And he put the veil on so that he could talk to the people. But when he went in and talked to God, he removed the veil. And when he came back out to meet the people, he had to. And you know what? Could I just say this? When we bring the word of God forth, he put the veil on. We need to use wisdom. There's a story about a farmer who, there was a preacher who went on, he preached for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and he was the only one left. And after it was over, the preacher said, "Well, what'd you think of the message?" He said, "It was a good message, but it was a little long." He said, "You know, I'm a farmer, and when I feed the cows, I feed them for the meal they come for. I don't try to shove the whole silo down them." And so as the word of God comes forth, we use wisdom as we present it. because there are things here that they just can't see yet. They're babes. So, over and over, Moses saw fire alive in his ministry. It was 3 Sundays ago, on a Sunday night, Pastor Schumacher and I truly believe by the unction of the Holy Spirit threw us a curveball. And we did a worship song, and we did the special. And then he said we were going to do the worship service at the end. Anybody remember that night? What a move of God we had in this place. And I'm thankful. So I look back 3 weeks ago, and I'm not looking for sympathy, but I wasn't in a good place. I could hardly stand because my back was in a bad way. I have a situation with my daughter, and I know how the pastor feels sometimes when there's things going on in the congregation, those people he pastors and loves, and he wishes he could go in and change and help, but he's got to seek God. And there's some things that man can't fix. And I want to help my girl, but I can't fix that. But I know who can. And I remember having brought back to my heart the story of the woman with the issue of blood and how she had to be desperate and seek him on her own after she used all of her resources and spent everything she had. Nobody could help her. But when she got to the master and sought him and touched the hem of his garment, and pressures at work, I can't tell you, with this whole COVID thing, the pressures, and it's unbelievable. But then I realize that I'm there for a reason and for a purpose to shine light in this time of confusion and darkness. And so going through those things and feeling all those pressures and hearing the voices about you're going to need surgery and you're washed up and you can't do this and you'll never. But I came to the house of God and I worshiped. And I want to share with you, that week also we filmed the next Bible study that will be going up on the website probably tomorrow on, is the Holy Ghost necessary? Do you need the fire? Yes. Yes. Did I really feel like doing that? No. No. But I have to tell you that when I dedicated myself to doing that in my little office at home, if you could have felt the power of God that moved into that room, there was such a power and an anointing of God, because I was teaching about his fire and his spirit and eternal life. And because I stayed faithful to those things, and I hope I'm talking to somebody who the enemy's just tapping you on the shoulder and saying, why don't you just let it all down and forget about it? But as I stood there and worshiped, God spoke to me about this fire and about Moses. And here's what he said to me, and I hope you can use this and apply it to your life. He said, just like Moses
step to the side and approach the bush because he saw that it burned, but it wasn't consumed. So too am I moved by one of my children who are in the middle of the fire, but yet they worship me and don't allow for themselves to be consumed. Keep walking, my child, because what I have for you. That did something for me. But it's because I was here. I don't believe that would have happened if I wouldn't have been here. And so when I look around and see people that aren't here, it grieves me because they're missing something that God has for them. And so if you're in the middle of a fire or you're in a trial, can I tell you that the Lord can't help but come up close to you when he sees you stand and worship God and not allowing yourself to be consumed by the trial you're in. And when you get to the other side, you're going to be greater and better for it and for him. So it is for the church today. Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Literally or figuratively, fire, lightning, fiery fire. That's what the Lord, through John the Baptist, said. Now remember, this is John who was beheaded for standing up for what's right. Matthew 11, 12 and 14, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Oh, you mean we're going to have to go through some things? Verily, verily. And the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Now listen, this is Jesus. And he says, if ye receive it, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He's giving revelation and he's saying, this John the Baptist, this is Elijah. Why is that important? Because here's the one who called down fire from heaven and then was taken in a fiery chariot. And now he's back as John the Baptist, and he's talking about a greater one that's going to come forth and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The church, you and I, who are called in these end times to be the ones who show the fire of God to this world. If you will receive it, then he says, he who hath ears, let him hear. Why is that so? What's the big deal? Well, guess what? We receive the fire of God, and one day, because the fire of God, we are going to be raised out of this place. And then another day, because of the fire of God, we're coming back. The one who called down fire was taken away in a chariot of fire. Matthew 11 and 11. So why? Watch. 11 and 11. Matthew 11, 11. 11, 11. That seems to be a big deal here. 11, 11. It is a big deal. I know that it's when they dedicated this building the first time. And the Lord let our pastor know that it was going to happen on 11-11. Matthew 11 and 11 says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So the big deal is, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater and has more potential and will do more for the kingdom than John the Baptist did, even in both time periods. Why? Because the latter rain is going to be greater than, and he's using you and I to be a part of that. But the fire of God can never go out in you and I. He calls us to be a light unto this world. And he tells us we have the ability to do what he has called us to do. Remember, we have his fire in us that allows for us to go on. Acts 1 and 8, "And ye shall," not "ye might," "ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts." See, we have that power. And then in Acts, the second chapter, after we were told that we would get it, or they were told they would get it, it came. And suddenly, there came from heaven the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. I think of the whirlwind with Elijah when the chariot picked him up. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire." The same fire that John the Baptist talked of in Matthew, the third chapter, and sat upon each of them. The fire was delivered. And it was delivered to you and I. The same fire they received in the upper room is the same fire that he's still pouring out. So they have the power now to be true witnesses. And that's exactly what they were. The power of God and the truth of God will always prevail, even among the trials. I'm not going to preach very long tonight, but I want to leave you with this. Let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter. I think you know the story well. This is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. I present to you the trial that these two disciples were going through at the time. Folks, they lost their Savior. He was gone and they didn't know what was going to happen. Their world was turned upside down. The one who instructed was now gone. They were in the middle of the fire. To the point where, just a few scriptures down, verse 16, Jesus in verse 15 himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. The trial was so intense, and their life had been changed so much that they didn't even recognize that the one they thought left or was gone or taken was right there with them. Now I know their eyes were holden. Jesus was going to read their mail. He said unto them, "What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Probably thinking, man, if you guys would have listened to all the stuff I taught you while I was here, you should be glad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass?" Jesus said, "What things?" Let me hear your version. "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." And he listened, and finally he said, "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart or understanding to believe all that the prophets have spoken." You see, the prophets talked about the one to come and about the fire of God and the rest of God and the strength of God and the redeeming power of that Savior. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And this is what I love. The Bible says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Think of the scriptures with that word in them. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." He came himself. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, you see, the ones that saw the fire, the ones that saw the power of God take control of situations. And he went all the way back there and came all the way forward and expounded unto them in Scripture the things concerning themselves. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Catch a vision of that. When you break the bread of life, it allows for people's eyes to see Jesus. And it goes on and says that again. Their eyes were open and they knew him. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Point. I don't know who it is you work with. I don't know who that person is who seems to be drawn to you. You talk with them by the way. And there's something about you that attracts them to you. There is something you have. They can't put their finger on it, but there's something different. So you build that friendship. You talk with them by the way, and then you open the scriptures. And they said, did our heart not burn within us? Let's go back to the beginning when Moses came down the mountain with the table of stones or the word of God or the instruction of God, and he was glowing and he didn't even know it. But he had an effect on the people that they were actually afraid to approach him. And sometimes we can have that effect on people, but after you talk to them by the way and build that bridge to them, hey, this guy's almost normal. They had the same experience, both of them. Their hearts burned within them. Because Jesus opened the scriptures unto them. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them. Look at this, verse 35. Is it up there? He was known of them in breaking of bread. That'd preach. So they were on the road to Emmaus. I looked up that word, Emmaus. And Emmaus simply means warm baths. Okay? And as I studied it out even more, it talked about the exact or precise location of Emmaus has not been figured out to this day. You know what? Right here in that worship service, I had an on the road to Emmaus experience, because Emmaus means warm baths. And the word of God, the Bible says, made their hearts burn. And there's something about the word of God and breaking bread with somebody that you rub shoulders with that has an effect on them. The location of Emmaus is unknown because, look, it could be in the parking lot. It could be in your workplace. It could be wherever the Lord chooses to have that intimate time and for his warmth to get inside them, that feeling of a warm bath of the touch of God rising up inside somebody. They get the bumps and they feel the presence of God. Amen. Simply because the Lord was exposed to them through his word. And so, the fire of God in your life and in my life is extremely critical, not only to our well-being, but to all of those who are in this city that have yet to have their eyes opened by the truth or the Word of God. And maybe the trial you're going through right now is causing somebody to have a perception or a view of you that they can't even understand how you do it or how it happens. But yet, day after day, time after time, you feel the unction of God. You get into His Word. He touches you in His Word. You get into a worship service. You're going to church feeling like that? Look, I need to get into an atmosphere where something can happen in my life. I can't just sit here and be miserable. I'm not going to hang. And so I talked with Ashley after the situation Pastor mentioned this morning about the Mayo Clinic and how it was all set up. And now she told me this. There's been a new doctor appointed to her case. It's Dr. John. Could it be the fire of God that has interrupted that situation? And she is calling the Mayo Clinic and has already been communicating with them about my situations. Look, it just so happened. And she called me on my room telephone to tell me what she was doing and what she's setting up. My instructions to her were, your part is to seek the Lord like you've never sought Him before. And then He, like the sacrifice that was caught in the thickets, He will make you His priority. I don't know why my back's getting better. It's not because I received an injection or a miracle drug, ibuprofens and some exercise. And look, I got a bad report, and well, it could be surgery. We'll try a shot first, and it's just not looking good. Okay, well, I couldn't do that 3 weeks ago. I'm not tempting God, but I'm trusting Him. Amen. And I believe that He's touched me. Yeah. And I believe that He's touched every one of us in this place and will touch us in our time of need. Hallelujah. Stay faithful. Don't let the fire go out. Amen. And let your flame, let your fire shine to the darkness of this world. Would you stand with me tonight? Did our hearts not burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? Can I present to you a simple formula that is the key to starting a fire in your heart and in the heart of others? The Word of God. The house of God, worshiping our God. Since Pastor Portman started his generic iPad commitment, I have got to tell you, I have some things written in here that are powerful things because of a recommitment. God is faithful, and He has called for you and I to shine our lights to this world. The altar is open. Would you come?